us about what Science Gallery Lab exactly is and why it's different than other everyday museums.
Science Gallery started in Dublin, Ireland in 2008, so about 10 years ago. And the idea there was to be a more permeable membrane between Trinity College Dublin and the community. So they established the gallery on the perimeter of the university, and they decided they wanted to tackle big ideas targeting 15 to 25-year-olds because they have the creative potential to change the world. And they're often overlooked by cultural organizations who tend to focus on families with young children, which makes sense. So they thought maybe they would, and they would use science and art as a way into these big ideas. So it's about creating objects that get people talking to each other. And they thought that maybe they would attract maybe 50,000 people that first year, but they attracted 250,000 people. So they knew they were onto something. And pretty quickly thereafter, they were bringing in more than 400,000 people a year, which in a country of 4.5 million is a lot of people. And when King's College London saw that this was happening, they said, we want to have a gallery too. So they'll be opening in September of this year. And then the University of Melbourne, so these world-class universities, top 100 universities, are all thinking, we want to do this too. There are galleries also coming online in Venice, Italy, and in India as well. And so we'll be the first one in the Americas, which is exciting. And the big difference is that when you enter a gallery space, it is about the conversation. It's about the discourse. And that discourse is supported by young people from that roughly 15 to 25-year-old age range, young adults, who get the opportunity to research the topic of the show, to interact with the artists who are in the show, to understand the pieces. And so it's in some ways more like participatory theater than it is like being in an art museum or a science museum.
So guilty as charged, I've read a lot about Science Gallery Lab Detroit and the network. I've seen some pictures of the networks around the world. I still have no idea what Science Gallery Lab is, and I don't think a lot of people really will, even from a podcast of people explaining it.
I'm really glad that you admitted that, because because it's absolutely right and totally fair. This is a concept that is really foreign. If I tell you it's not an art museum and it's not a science museum, which you may have some familiarity with, and I tell you it's something completely different, but I don't say exactly what it is, it's hard to know. So what I'd like to say is please come and see it, because you really need to immerse yourself in it to understand what it is. And everyone is welcome. And I please introduce yourself. If you see me in the gallery, come over and say hi. It's a treat. It's a real treat. It's a wonderful experience. And I hope everybody listening today will come.
Now, from what we just talked about, Science Gallery Lab is a whole global network, and Detroit is the first in the Americas. Why Detroit?
I mean, I think that I was in the gallery yesterday, and the woman, obviously from Detroit, she just kind of peeked in, and then she asked if she could come in for a second. And she asked what the Science Gallery was, and I kind of gave her, you know, an explanation of it. And she was blown away, and she said, see, all of my friends ask me from around the world, why do I still live in Detroit? And she said, my response to them is, why don't you live in Detroit, right? I think that Detroit has been the blueprint for a lot of things, a lot of innovative things that have happened, that has happened around the world. So it kind of starts here, and then when it goes to New York, when it goes to San Francisco, you know, these big ideas that were, you know, started in Detroit become the thing in San Francisco and in New York and around the world. I think it's the mecca. Everything starts here. So why not Detroit? Why not right now in Detroit? What's happening, you know, in and around the city. So, I mean, I love it. So I want everything to come to Detroit, you know.
Now, the opening exhibit is called Hustle. Tell me a little bit about what that theme means, both to Science Gallery and to the city of Detroit.
Look, I'm a 33-year-old woman in Detroit, and I've been hustling my whole life, right? And I think that this city has hustled like no other just to survive, you know. And I think that's an important thing. When you think about just the hustle dance itself, right? Like we own the word, I think, here in Detroit. So I think that the Science Gallery choosing that as its first theme just kind of made sense. You know, we need to explore why, what it's like to hustle in Detroit, but what it's like to be hustled in Detroit, because this is, again, you know, a very special time where there's a lot of people winning, but in order for that winning to happen, there's a lot of people also losing. And then you have those folks in the middle who have found the balance between kind of hustling and making their own way, but to also also help others up under to make a way as well. But I think it's perfect. Like, that's all we do in Detroit is hustle. You see the shirts, Detroit Hustle Harder, hustle, hustle, hustle. And I'm glad that Science Gallery chose to explore that topic.
The other thing is we want to choose really rich, big ideas that allow for artists and scientists to create objects that explore those ideas and create programming around those ideas. Because hustling can make us feel a whole range of emotion, from pride around the fact that we made ends meet, we got things done, we worked hard. But then on the other side, too, we might feel ashamed because we got hustled and we didn't see it coming. So it was just a very rich idea that was very Detroit, that we got excited about the idea that we could explore this particular idea with the people of Detroit.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how the pieces in the exhibit fit into that theme somehow?
They're a bunch of really wonderful, wonderful, as we like to call them, objects of inquiry. So they are exhibits, but they're about spurring questions for people. So one of the artists created a sculpture that's really beautiful. It's in a blown glass vase that looks like maybe a large flame that's maybe 2 feet across and comes to a point at the top. And it's clear glass, and it's full of water. And in the water, she has collected literally. The name of the sculpture is Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And she has taken her own blood, sweat, and tears and done something that they use in molecular gastronomy. It's called spherifying. So you take a drop of blood, for example, and you put it in this chemical solution, and it creates a little membrane around the drop of blood or around the sweat or around the tears. And she's created in this object there's an electrical switch that you close, you turn it on by putting your hand in a pile of salt, which is another one of the currencies in our body. So mm-hmm. These three different currencies, the blood, the sweat, and the tears, are elevated inside of that sculpture by an air pump that's turned on when you put your hand in that pile of salt. And it's really beautiful and whimsical, kind of an alternate take on a lava lamp, if you will. You see this material circling around inside of this vase. Nice. And beautiful.
Well, and that truly does sound like it's the exact combination of art and science, which is what Science Gallery is all about.
It's remarkable. And listening to her talk about this too, what she had to learn as an artist, as a bio artist, about, for example, how to generate her own tears. That she learned that...
Besides watching a really sad movie.
That's what she did.
Oh!
In fact, she assembled a bunch of brutal YouTube videos.
Oh.
And then she hacked a pair of swimming goggles with little tubes coming out of them. And she made herself do that emotional crying that allows us to produce a tremendous amount of tears. Versus her original trial was with physical tears, which happens when you poke yourself in the eye or you cut onions or those different ways that we... And so she learned so much about our body's chemistry and about how it works through the exploration of this piece.
That is incredible. So what goes into planning a gallery that targets these 15 to 25-year-olds? And are all of the galleries in this global network that same 15 to 25-year-old audience?
Yes, the all of the galleries target 15 to 25-year-olds. It's important for me to say that the Science Gallery is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We want everybody to come, but we make special efforts to prioritize those young people because we really believe they are our future. You know, we say that of all children, right? But again, cultural organizations often overlook those folks. And so we want to prioritize them. You know, it's an important time in their lives when they're working out their identities, who they want to be, if they want to go to school, they want to work. And we want to create spaces for them in our gallery and bring them in. We want to work with community partners, and this is Natasha's role, and I'll ask her to talk a little more about that in a minute. But our strategy with Science Gallery is to make friends with the people who are working with these youth in our city and build relationships with the youth and those community partners over time in ways where we can work together to help them accomplish their dreams for their youth and find ways that the Science Gallery can be adjacent to those activities in ways that are a win-win for both us and the people in the city of Detroit. But I'll let Natasha talk a little bit more about the specifics of how we're trying to do that in Detroit in particular.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, what goes into planning this type of gallery is listening to 15 to 25 year olds. It's not creating the program or the environment that we want them to exist in. It's asking them, you know, what is the environment that you want to exist in? What is the programming that you like to see here? So when I go into different schools or different organizations that are, as Troy mentioned, already doing a work that's in line with what we're doing at the Science Gallery, and I access their youth. You know, I go into somewhere like Teen Hype, and I say, you know, I want you to create a program to exist inside of the Hustlers Lounge, but I want to give you full autonomy to do that. You know, I would like to see you discuss, you know, what you would want your school environment to look like, but I don't want to tell you what that is. I don't want to tell you what that program is. I want you to create it. When I go into somewhere like Inside Out and I work with their youth, you know, I say, do you want to write poems today about hustle, or do you want to create a play about hustle and bring it to the lounge? You know, they pick what they want to do. So I think the most important thing, when I was 15 and I was 25, you know, 15 to 25, I felt like people were just throwing these ideas at me, but nobody was kind of drawn from what was, you know, inside of me. And, you know, again, one of the reasons I'm happy to be at the Science Gallery is because as an artist, and as, you know, a semi-successful artist, I realized that it took one person to kind of say this thing existed, and it was long past 25, right? And then that thing came out, and I've been able to kind of, you know, see the world through this thing and with this thing. And at the Science Gallery, that's what we aim to do, to go into that target age demographic and say, what's already in you? And how do we put that out? And how do we nurture that? And I'm from a community where I felt like a lot of those big ideas that already existed weren't nurtured. So to me, it's as simple as listening. What do you want to see? Let's create that thing together. I go to 15 to 25 year olds just to figure out how I should be dressing for the season. If I should, you know, I think that everybody's on Instagram, and then I go into a high school and they're like, we're long past Instagram. We're on Snapchat. And I'm like, oh, we need to get on Snapchat. Like, we need to, you know, you have to, you know.
They're humbling, aren't they?
They're very humbling. They're like, no, you should not wear that shirt, team. I'm like, wow, okay, changing in the car. So it's really just you got to listen to them, and they're smart, and you got to not, you know, count them out. You got to not think that they're not competent. You got to not think that your experience is the only experience. You know, I was doing some programs about grief, and I was going into high schools, and I was talking to high schoolers about the grief that they were experiencing, and I just realized that so much of the real life that they're experiencing, it just goes overlooked. Like, we think that these high schoolers aren't dealing with anything, you know, and I realized that until, like Troy said, they're the future, you know, and all of those issues that are concerned and 15 to 25 year olds, we need to kind of be nurturing and dealing with now. But again, simple answer, I listen to them, I include their voices in whatever it is that we're doing here.
So what it sounds like is Science Gallery takes a lot of the things that adults really deal with, because these 15 to 25 year olds are dealing with it too, but looking at it through a very different lens and really tapping into the perspectives that these younger people have.
Absolutely.
I think we were all very moved by the students from Parkland, Florida after the shooting. And we thought, these people are leading the way. The young people are the people who are saying, this is a problem that we have to do something about. And they got all of our attention, mm-hmm. you know. And I think Natasha's right. We just need to listen.
Yeah. They're also saying, you can get with this or you can get out the way. And I'm like, I'd rather be on your team then.
Young people have led all the important social movements in our country. And so, you know, I think it's important for us to create spaces where they feel heard.
Now, similar to this 15 to 25-year-old target audience, I've been told that there aren't actual docents that take you through Science Gallery. It's something that's called a mediator, and they also fall into this younger category.
That's exactly right, yeah. And so the point of the Science Gallery is really to be more about questions than answers. So your experience in many museums with a docent is to give you kind of a canned speech about what that art object or whatever it is you're looking at in a science museum. It might be an actual hands-on demonstration. What we want is conversation about the big ideas. So if we were thinking about the blood, sweat, and tears, every single one of the mediators is going to have a little bit of a different take on why that piece is interesting to them. And this is one of the other things that this does, is it means that you can come back almost endlessly to the gallery and get a different idea about what that object is, as opposed to if you go in and look at the Mona Lisa, here's the story. It was painted by Leonardo da Vinci, and she's supposed to be the most beautiful woman in the world, and there you go. Take a picture of it, and you're done. The other thing that makes them special is that we've worked very hard to create a group of people who represent the many different identities that you'll find in Detroit. So when you come into the gallery, our great hope is in the mediators, you will see somebody who looks like you or was like you when you were a younger person, if you're me, you might aspire to be if you're a younger person, somebody, a child. Love to hear your take too.
Natasha. Yeah, I don't know. I think that, you know, in comparison to the mediators, I'm old, right? I'm rigid. So like the example of the Mona Lisa, if I go in and I have to explain blood, sweat, and tears, I'm probably going to explain it the same way I explained it from day one on day 35. Whereas, you know, I don't like change. Whereas I look at these young folks, they'll explain it a different way every day, even if it's the same person, because they're willing to grow with the exhibition. They're willing to see something else. They're willing to be flexible. They're willing to change. Whereas I've been taught that kind of being consistent, being the same way will just move me forward. So that's why I like the idea of just having people who are flexible, of having people who are willing to see something else, you know, something new every single day, and not just stick to a specific script, which we know a lot of young folks, especially talented ones, are not, you know, used to doing and not going to do. So I think that's kind of what makes them special, their ability to just grow with the exhibition and the science gallery itself.
So the mediators are Detroit youth, and it's people from the state of Michigan who are putting this all together, but are the artists coming from all four corners of the world?
The mediators are from Detroit. Some of them are Spartans, though. Some of them are MSU students, which is, we're really excited that we have some.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we have about half of the objects are created by people from around the world.
Okay.
So some of them are locally based, especially on the programming side. Yeah. What that means is that's sort of a one day or a few hour thing that happens inside of the gallery. Mm-hmm. And the objects themselves were created by a number of different folks. Also very proud that Zach Kaiser and Nita Abdullah, who are MSU faculty, have a piece in the show as well, which we're really excited about.
You know, while this is a really global network and a global initiative, it's nice to really see Michigan State stamp on a lot of things.
Absolutely. I'm happy about that. Like, Michigan State has been in the city forever, and I'm glad that they're taking on these types of projects, because they're doing so much good work, and now I feel like they're going to be getting the recognition for the work that they've been doing. So I'm excited about that.
So Science Gallery Lab Detroit opens in Detroit on Saturday, June 16th. And where can our listeners learn more?
We do encourage everybody to come out on June 16th. We'll be open every day except for Monday from 1 until 9 p.m. And on June 16th, we're having an opening party from 6 to 9, and we'll feature legendary DJ John Collins. So you can come and get some house and techno music, dance with us, you know, explore the gallery, get some food from Sweet Potato Sensations. But yeah, even when you're not coming just for gallery hours, we will be activating different parts of the city through performances and events and shows, et cetera, artist talk, et cetera, et cetera. So check us out from June 16th through August 25th.
And then after August 25th, what's next for Science Gallery?
Well, one exciting thing is that we're working with the Museum of Contemporary Art, MOCAD, in Detroit, and we're bringing Questlove, the drummer from Roots,
awesome,
to the city, right? to do a talk. He's written a book about science and cooking and food.
Oh.
And so that's super exciting. That'll be happening September 14th in the city. And beyond that, what we need to do immediately, and actually as soon as the gallery starts, is figuring out, literally answering that question, is where do we go next? We were very lucky to find this particular spot to pop up the gallery in Campus Martius, but we want to get to being a permanent full-time gallery where we're running roughly 3 to 3.5 shows per year round. So that's the aspiration. We did this in a relatively quick time frame, very quick compared to the other galleries. London's been at it for almost 5 years. So we got our first show open in about 18 months. So we're excited about that.
But staying in the city of Detroit.
Absolutely. Although there will be things as well here on campus.
Oh, great.
And what exactly those are remains to be seen. We're collaborating with the Science Festival, and we are looking forward to figuring out exactly what happens here in East Lansing versus what we're doing in Detroit.
That's great. So no matter where you are in Michigan, there's a way to experience Science Gallery Lab Detroit.
We are located at 1001 Woodward, right across the street from Campus Martius, so that's important.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Thanks.